And I always feel like, just since I've been in Revelations, that every time I announce my message in the morning, those of you that are here and remain, sounds like Paul in 1 Thessalonians, but turn with me in Revelations chapter number 21, Revelation chapter number 21, verses 7 and 8. If you were in the adult Bible study this morning, which the one time I wanted notes for the other Bible studies that I do in this, so that I could slip that in and not have to preach a second message to those to the Bible groups that I do these studies at. I put these notes in a more of a smaller format, but you might hear some of this again. You're not allowed to get up and leave. But if your snoring bothers us, one of the ushers will come by and wake you. Revelation chapter number 21, verse number 7 says, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in a lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Heavenly Father, O God, as we come before you today, Lord, as we open your word, do speak to us. Lord, feed us out of your word. Give us a drink of your living water. But, O God, most of all, if there's anyone here who does not know you as their personal Savior, Lord, that they would see you high and lifted up. They'd see their need. Lord, they'd receive you today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Matthew chapter number 25, verse number 41, Jesus says, "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." I was at one of my Bible studies this past week, and I asked the folks there, I said, if Matthew chapter number 25, verse number 1 is correct, and it is right, and it is true, and we know that it is because the Bible is correct, the Bible is true. So if Matthew 25, 41 is true, and hell is created for the devil and his angels, why does God cast people into hell? In the Bible study that I asked the question at, the group have a wide range of religious backgrounds. I've talked to most of them privately, and my wife and I, and visited with them to find out and to share the gospel with them, to find out the condition of their soul, to see if they've ever, according to what the Bible says, received Jesus as their personal Savior. But as I asked that question, what I got back was just blank stares. And it's and this is a Bible study setting. It is a question, and they're supposed to answer time. If God prepared, if God made hell, made the lake of fire for the devil and his angels, then why do people go there? And it's a legitimate question. You go out and if you go door knocking, if you go out and you're doing stuff around town and you stop for gas and you talk at the person that, because unless you drive a little car, if you drive a truck like mine, you're there at the gas pump for a little while before it's full. If you drive a motorhome, you're there for a lot longer than that. And frequently, right? While you're there, what are you doing? Oh, I wash the windows. I wash the mirrors off. I check the oil, and I do all of this stuff. I understand that, but you know, and then 5 minutes have passed, and you're still there for a good 15 minutes, right? While you're standing there in line at Walmart, Safeway, Smith's, wherever you stand in line at, what are you doing? As Christians, are we wasting our time reading the articles that are on the face of the magazines that line the aisles up to the register? You turn on the TV today, you get enough junk without adding to that. Well, you know, they put those to where you just can't help but see them. And oh boy, you know, there's this person, and everybody's following this person. Everybody's following this person. You would not believe the trouble that these people are in. Yes, I would. Yes, I would. The Bible says that as the days progress, and my not exact Bible, okay, just the way it's going to wax worse and worse. The people aren't getting better. People aren't being nicer. It's getting worse and worse. And it doesn't take a whole lot of TV watching for something to flash across the screen, an Amber Alert or a whatever, to understand that things are not getting better. But as you're standing there in line, or as you're waiting, and there's somebody else there, and they're doing the same thing you're doing, nothing. Do you take that moment to say, hey, boy, you know, if you doesn't always work. I was out door knocking yesterday. This couple was there. They were standing there in their yard. Didn't knock on their door. Didn't interrupt. They were standing there in their yard. I walked up and said, hey, I'm Pastor Hogue. And the guy put his hands in his pockets and goes, so? I'm like, well, yeah, you're right. You know, it's really nothing. But I thought I was impressed. Most times that it happens, I understand. It, for those of you that know me, am I shocked when it happens to me? No. When my wife walks up and does the same thing, and they won't shake her hand, now I'm going, wow, these people are weird. But most times when you stick your hand out and you smile at somebody, they will smile back. Oh, we knocked on, we had some great visits yesterday, and we had some of those other ones. I did everything I possibly could. This lady refused to smile. Wanted nothing to do with us, which I'm good with. You know, I'm not there to force anything on her. But everybody needs a smile. Apparently not. But I thought so, which is why I tried my best. And it is just that way. And when you walk up to somebody, you stick your hand out and go, hey, what are you doing? Boy, the gas prices are something else. It's amazing that we're paying under $2 a gallon right now. Now, the message is being recorded, and hopefully it stays that way, and that somebody down the road isn't listening to this going, oh, man, those were the days. Wonder when this was recorded, back in the 80s? But you walk up and you ask them, hey, do you know where you'd spend eternity? And so many times I get the answer of, I'm a good person. I believe that I'll go to heaven because I'm a good person. That I've done my best. I've not been mean. I used the example before because this man told me. He goes, I don't beat my wife up every morning. Some mornings she beats me up. Out of bed early, not physical. Just for those. And you understand that, and you understand that we want to, and at least in our own mind, believe that we are worthy, that we're worthwhile, that we have some value to us, and we do have. But if there's value to us, then, and God created hell for the devil and his angels, why does he throw people there? And the blank stares back and the shrugs of shoulders that I got back during the Bible study, and there was quite a few people there. And I go, anybody? Can anybody answer the question? Why do they go? I wanted somebody else to answer the question. Oh, I know the answer. Many of you here today know the answer to the question. But it's amazing how the world would appear does not know. We'll talk about it later, but shame on us. If we know Jesus Christ, our personal Savior, and the people around us don't know, they don't hear, and our mouth is shut, we don't tell them, shame on us. Verse number 8, we see three groups of people that are in hell. Even though God created it for Satan and his angels, he will allow you to go there. That is not his intention. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. What is his intention? That he gave his only begotten Son. What is his intention? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. His intentions are not for us. For anybody, any portion, any part of the human race to go to hell. Oh, Pastor, I don't know because there was Hitler. Hey, Hitler, for everything that we have in our history books and for folks who dealt with that. If he didn't receive Jesus Christ as personal Savior, deserves everything he's getting right now. Unfortunately, there's three other people, three other groups that are there right alongside him, who some of them were even good people. The first group we see is the fearful. It says, but the fearful. All those people who are so afraid about what other people will think about them. They're so afraid about what their friends will say. They're so afraid about what the church will say. Oh, I grew up in church. As a kid, I went forward or I prayed with mom and dad or whatever the case may be. Everybody thinks I'm a Christian, but I know in my heart I'm not a Christian. I know in my heart that I did not mean it. I know in my heart that if I were to die today, I'd go to a devil's hell. But oh, if I come forward, what will people think? There was opportunity yesterday, not by me, but by part of our group that was out, to witness to a pastor of a local church. What would people think if a pastor of a local church came forward and said, hey, I don't know where I'd spend eternity and I need Jesus? Oh, he's the pastor. He should know. No argument. But would he stay, if he was here today, would he stay sitting in the pew even though he was unsure, even though he's unsure of his salvation, but positive that he wasn't saved? But he sat right there because, oh no, I'll lose my church. I'll lose my position. I'll lose my respect. The fearful. Matthew 14, verse number 5. And Herod would have put John the Baptist to death, but he feared the multitude. He's afraid what they would think. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. Why? Because he didn't want the other religious rulers to see him. Hey, that guy hangs out with sinners and publicans. If they see me with him, I might get kicked out of my position at the church. They might not let me be an usher anymore. They might not let me do whatever anymore. Fearful. The second group that we see, and it says in the rest of that sentence, and unbelieving. Oh, there's a whole lot of people in Romans, it says, and they retain not the knowledge of God in their mind. They're unbelieving. Oh, that's a bunch of hogwash. That's a bunch of baloney. That's a fairy tale that you tell your kids to help them get to sleep at night. That's a fairy tale that adults tell each other so that they have. I actually heard that. There's some awesome stories in here. And the story of David and Goliath, the story of Ruth and Boaz, the story of Jesus Christ. There's some awesome stories in there, but there is not a single fairy tale in there. Not a single one. But I don't care what it says. I spent an hour and a half with him talking to him, and he goes, I am not going to abide by any book that promotes slavery. And I said, really? So your standard operating procedure at the job that you hold doesn't support slavery, right? It gives you a set of rules and regulations, and he goes, oh no, it promotes slavery. It's not to intend that people didn't misuse this book over the years to promote their agenda, to promote their ideologies. God promotes liberty. God promotes freedom. God promotes the breaking of bondage. He said, oh, I'm not going to follow that. I said, well, what do you believe? He goes, I read the Quran. Not very well. Not very well. The unbelieving. Acts chapter number 26, verse number 28, and says, and then King Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me. Almost. Almost. There's a lot of people who are going to die and go to hell, not because they're bad people, not because they are the Hitlers, the Jeffrey Dahmers, the whatever of this world, but because they do not believe in Jesus Christ. But then thirdly, we see the third group that are going to be in hell, the abominable, the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars. Are you in any part of that? Does any of this apply to you? Oh no, Pastor, I've received Jesus Christ, my personal Savior. Great. Why? Because at some point in your life, you understood that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You understood that all our righteousnesses, oh, I am a good person, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Maybe you didn't do one of the first five things, but then you notice God doesn't let anybody slide under the carpet. Oh, I'm not an idolater. Are you worshiping God the way God says to worship Him? Well, I'm worshiping in my own way. I go out to the lake and I worship God. I commune with nature. God calls that idolatry. My way or no way. Oh, I'm not a murderer. He ends it with an all liars. Oh, as the preacher was talking about hell and preaching on hell and talking about the lake of fire when I was 9 years old, I saw my need for a Savior. Not because at age 9 I had done any of the other things, intentionally or otherwise. But when he got to liars, I remember telling my mom a lie just not too many days previous. And I said, oh man, he's talking about me. He's talking about me. It's amazing when you finally realize your lost condition, when you finally see Jesus high and lifted up, there can be a packed out crowd in the building. They all disappear because all you can see is Jesus. And all I could see as a 9-year-old boy was my inability to do anything for myself. John 3:19 says, "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil." The abominable. So if there's three groups in hell, then where are we at? If you're here today and you say, "Oh, Pastor, I've received Jesus Christ, my personal Savior," then you're in the next group. We go back to verse number 7, chapter 21, and it says, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son." The overcomer is everything that Jesus mentions in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter number 5, verses 3 through 12. Inherit all things. The Beatitudes are not something that you do. It is something that you are. It is a huge mistake as a Christian to read through that, to write out the list of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Today, I need to be poor in spirit. And I'm going to work on being a poor...